So the Gemara returns to the prohibition of eating, of having chametz, of owning chametz on Erev Pesach. And what we're going to try to do is understand this prohibition. We had already started the discussion of the uniqueness of Yudalit, if you remember, but now we're going to try to understand the prohibitions we have against chametz, the nature of the prohibition as it is presented throughout this Amud. We're going to start today. I assume we will not get farther than the Gemara. Maybe we'll get to look at the Gemara and Chav Chet, but let us try to understand this very, very carefully, okay? So the Gemara says, Tanan Hata, we learn in the Mishnah that in addition to the biblical prohibition that we assume starts at what time? Chatzot, which we will see is not the only position, and the Yerushalmi will of course, shockingly suggest a position that does not embrace the prohibition of Chatzot. Unlikely in this particular case. Guys, can you just close?
Guys,
someone, one of you, just close. Thank you. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chametz. You're allowed to eat Chametz the whole fifth hour. Bisorfin B'tchilat Sheish. And you burn the Chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ochlin Kol Arba, you may only eat during the fourth hour. Vitolin Kol Chametz. In the fifth hour, you let it hang out. Bisorfin B'tchilat Sheish. In the beginning of the sixth hour, you burn it. So the Gemara says that is the rabbinic background to the biblical discussion we must have. Dechule alma mia. Everyone, however, at least agrees that chametz mishe sha'ot ulema'ala asur. That chametz from the sixth hour and on is prohibited. Prohibited. And now we need to figure out how we know that. Now again, in the Yerushalmi, we'll discover that this is not agreed upon. Rabbi Meir and the Yerushalmi disagrees. And Rabbi Meir says it is only Asur. Sha'a. Sha'a o Shatayim. Right? No. Different traditions of what Rabbi Meir said. But no, it is the same person. Don't worry. Just to make it more complicated. Yes. Is that okay with you? Oh, good. I'm good. I'm glad that you've gotten used to the fact that we could have the same person saying different things in different shasas. And I'm glad you're okay with things being hard.
No, I'm not for that.
Oh, you just got used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first step.
It doesn't mean that he's ready to pay
taxes yet. Oh, no. He just knows that one day it is inescapable, Avi. Inescapable. You can have lower taxes if you move to a place like the UAE, but
No,
now they instituted taxes. Very low taxes, though. 5%, I think. But yes, until recently it was 0% corporate, 0% income, 0% sales.
Where did they get the money from?
Oil and what was it? And licensing, right? Like you wouldn't pay tax, but it was if you wanted to open a business, it was exorbitant licensing fees.
I thought that they were trying to bring in companies. Why?
That seems worse. Though.
Yes, but you pay a licensing fee and then you're free. Then you don't pay whatever you make.
Okay.
Right? They said that was their logic. Right? Is you don't pay a percentage, you pay a licensing fee, and therefore, if you are wildly successful, you pay the money and it's all yours. And if you fail, you already paid the money, right? So, you know. Anyways, but you could do that. Low taxes. I think Saudi Arabia has lower taxes, but I do not endorse living there.
Right.
Yes?
Rabbi, you're saying this on record.
Yes, and I think the people in Saudi Arabia would agree that a nice, from Jewish boy from New Jersey probably does not want to live in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
just convert to...
Yeah, that only works that way. Okay, anyways. So the Gemara says, how do we know? Right? Mia chametz misheshod ulema'ala asur minalan. How do we know? So option one, abaye. Now, as we go through the drashot, I want you to tell me what it tells you about the nature of the prohibition. Okay? What is its nature? How does it relate to bal yirah, bal yimotze? How does it relate to the isur of chametz on Pesach? Amar abaye. Trey, Kroy, Tive. There are two psukim in play that you must explain. One says, Shivat yamim sa'or lo yimatze bevateichem. For 7 days, you shall not find leaven in your house. Simplest understanding, 7 days. What are these 7 days? Known as what days of Nisan?
15, 20.
I'm going to pause. 14. I'm going to let you all agree. No, don't know. You stick with your position. Don't walk back on it. Everyone else walk back. Say it again. 15, thank you. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Seven, yay. Right, you're all good at counting?
What's the first one?
What? That's Pasuk 1. Uchtiv. Ach, bayom arishon. Tashbitu so'or mibatecha. On day one, you shall be mashbit chametz from your house. What is the problem? How does the Gemara reading the second pasuk? On the 15th day, right? The Gemara's first attempt is what? Is that Yom HaRishon means the Yom HaRishon of what? Let's call it Chag HaMatzah, because Chag HaPesach is the 14th. Let's call it Chag HaMatzah, right? Pesach, Chag Pesach, when we bring the Korban Pesach, is the 14th. So let's call it Chag HaMatzah. But yes, the first day of Chag HaMatzah is the 15th. And on the 15th, what should you do? Destroy chametz. What is the contradiction that the Gemara seems to be bothered by? Very good. Is that if you read the words Shivat Yamim as 7 complete days, 168 hours. I assume you all know that there's that many hours in a week. A, I know that. B, that's not hard math. Really? 24 times 7 as 168 is a hard mathematics?
Doing 2 seconds? Yeah, that's really quick.
I'm kind of tired, but I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's really not complicated mathematics. It's not like I did the square root of, 17,304. I have no idea. Like I said, it's not like I did that. I did 7 times 24.
That's so cool if you're one of those people.
No. I had a professor who did that all the time. In high school, actually. It's a high school teacher. I know there is. I know there too. Yeah, well, it's uses differentials. Anyways, so the Gemara assumes that if you think the prohibition is 168 hours, so then it can't be that you are destroying it on Pesach. Because if you destroy it on Pesach, correct. Who said what I just said? Who analyzes the Gemara as I just said it? Rashi. Right? Afilu sha'a achat b'toch shivat yamim. Right? 7 days you can't have chametz, even for a moment. Uktiv ach b'yom rishon tashbitu. Hare sha'a bo sha'a achat. If it literally means destroy it on the first day of Pesach, on the 15th, the first day of Chag HaMatzah, rather, then you do not have 7 complete days without chametz. You have 167 hours and not 168. Right? And that is a problem. So that, according to Rashi, is the contradiction that drives the first attempt. Okay? Haketzad. So therefore, how do I read the Gemara? Lirabot arba asar. Le-bi-ur. It must be that Yom HaRishon here does not mean the 15th. It means the 14th. At some point on the 14th, you must get rid of the chametz. Where Rashi says, Aketzad le-rabot, dal karchach, hai-rishon, rishon, kodem l'chol shiva. The first must be the first before the 7th. Bahainu Araba Asar. And the first before the 15th is the 14th. Very good. Okay. Few questions on this understanding of the sugya. Okay. First of all, admittedly, the drasha is weird. Everyone with me on that? Drasha is weird? Good. Okay. I don't know what to tell you about that. The drasha, according to Rashi, is weird because these psukim, sometimes day one is the 14th, and sometimes day one is the 15th, which is, you know. Sure. That is the first problem, admittedly, for Rashi. But what does it tell us about the way the Gemara at this point is conceptualizing the prohibitions on chametz that exist on Erev Pesach? What is it telling us? First of all, tell me, what is a derivative of? Meaning, the prohibition on Erev Pesach, what generates the prohibition? Does it? Is it, whoa, Mordechai, is it Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei at this stage in the Gemara? According to Rashi. Only accidentally. Right? In one sense, let's be very careful. This is why I wanted you to read this Gemara very carefully. So let's try this again, Mordechai, okay? Mordechai is in the, right? Mordechai is the only one who can answer, okay? Mordechai, let's try it again. In what sense does Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei generate this interpretation? Correct. Very good, right? Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei is necessary only to tell us that it cannot be that the destruction that you are doing is happening on Pesach, because if you destroy it on Pesach, that means there's a period of time on Pesach in which you own chametz. Right. So Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei, the existence of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei is a prohibition which extends to all 168 hours of Pesach, creates the hermeneutic gap, right, in the psukim that forces us to understand the pasuk of Ach B'Yom HaRishon is not referring to the 15th.
Otherwise, we'd say you stop eating once Pesach
right. starts. Right, right. Correct. However, according to Rashi, that's the gap, right? Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei creates the gap. But what is the prohibition that we have on Erev Pesach, what is not the Pasuk by implication that tells us we're talking about the 14th, but what is the Pasuk that tells us that there is a prohibition on the 14th? Tashbitu. Right? Is the obligation to destroy chametz. Meaning, because Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei tells me that there cannot be a single moment on Pesach in which I own chametz, therefore I know that I can't be destroying Pesach of the chametz on the 15th, because if I was destroying chametz on Pesach, then I would be owning it for a moment on, which is problematic. But if I ask you a different question, which is not how did I get here, but what is the pasuk that actually tells, what is the pasuk that actually guides the nature of the prohibition of chametz on Erev Pesach? It's not Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. It's Tashbitu. Right? Yeah. Why is that important? Think about, right, just within Rashi, why is that important? What is that telling me? On Erev Pesach, at this point, why can't you have chametz? Whatever time we're going to decide, let's assume now the sixth hour, why is it, according to Rashi, the way he understands it, why is it that you can't, at this stage in the Gemara?
He goes down more down the accident.
Meaning what? Why can't you have chametz on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, according to Rashi? Correct. Meaning, not because I can't have chametz, because Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei only starts on the 15th. I can't maintain chametz on Erev Pesach because that would be a failure. No. Of Tashbitu. It would be a failure of my obligation to destroy. Those are two. I know they sound similar, but they're quite different, right? Saying that on Erev, right? There's a difference between saying that the reason it's problematic to have chametz is because you're not allowed to have chametz, and saying that the reason you're not allowed to have chametz is because you should be actively destroying chametz, and by having it and not destroying it, you are not destroying it, right? Those are not the same, right? It's not that owning it is problematic. Is that owning it and not destroying it is a failure to destroy. So according to Rashi, it's quite clear. Now if I asked you, at this stage in the Gemara, according to Rashi, is if you have chametz on Erev Pesach after 6 hours, Did you violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematze? No, right? The answer is you did not. If that's true, might there be implications to that?
Yes.
Yes. So, for example, what? So there might be in terms of Bidika, okay, fine.
And there could be Bidiyakit ways of doing
it. So, right, so good. It could change how you fulfill Tashbitu. It could implicate the punishment, right? Meaning, right, the punishment of Chametz on Erev Pesach, is it going to be the same as that on Pesach? According to Rashi, the prohibition to own Chametz on Erev Pesach is fundamentally different at this stage in the Gemara from of owning on Pesach, and therefore, just because it's prohibited on both doesn't mean that the prohibition will look the same, right? Because one is a prohibition, do not own it. The other is a derivative from an obligation. Derivatives from obligations are often less strict than direct prohibitions.
Does Tashbitu have an independent value, like, aside from the fact that you're using it to get rid of your comments that you would have in Pesach? Like, let's say I had no comments.
So haven't we talked about this extensively? We've talked about this extensively, right? Is Tashbitu merely the negation of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, right? What I'm saying is only true if you assume that Tashbitu is more than just the negation of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Which could come down to that question. Correct. Now, who does not like this this very simple analysis of the Gemara? Tosfot, right? I told you, right? All I wanted you to do today is read very carefully Rashi and Tosfot. I want you to spell out every implication of every Havamina. I know this is normally, you know, Ray Ginsburg's, right? Sheer, right? Spend every moment on every Havamina and every Maskana. Well, today, I'm going back to my Rambam roots. I'm also capable of doing that if I need to, right? It's just making you focus on the Gemara and Havamina Maskana. Tosfot dislikes this understanding of Rashi. Why does Tosfot dislike this understanding of Rashi? So he says, Perish HaKuntres, right? This is the second last Tosfot in the Amud. Uktiv Ach Bayom Reishon Tashbitu. Perish HaKuntres mi demechayev biyom harishon lashbit. Actually, you know what? Let's hold off, right? Let's hold off. He's coming in a different point in Rashi, which we have not yet analyzed, okay? The Gemara continues, and now he says, okay, fine. So we've established that it is prohibited to have chametz on Erev Pesach. The ima lerabot lele chamesh asar lebiur. The salka daitach amina yamim k'tev yamim in leilot lo. The Gemara says maybe. A week does not mean a week, right? According to Rashi, right, the gap that told us that we have to push the prohibition earlier was the notion that it said 7 days. But 7 days might not mean 168 hours. What might it mean?
7 days.
7 days. What is 7 days? Daytime. So the Gemara says, whoa. I have a different solution. And that would be much easier, which is to say, 7 days one must not have chametz. But on the first, right, day means two different things. Day can either mean calendrical day. Day on calendar.
Entire day.
Calendrical. Meaning the 15th, right? Or it can mean daytime, right? It can either mean date. How about this? Date or daytime. Is that better? Fine. So it can either mean date or daytime. So the Gemara suggests, why don't you recognize the inherent ambiguity in the word yom, right? That yom sometimes means a date and sometimes means daytime, and say that when the pasuk says 7 days you shall not have chametz, that means not 7 dates, 7 calendrical days, but 7 daytimes, which would mean that when does the prohibition kick in?
The first day
when you wake up. Well, not when you wake up. That's like noon.
Wouldn't that imply that
the first day?
Wouldn't that imply that
in the morning?
Like Ramadan, where it's only during the day that they're
open. Potentially.
That's crazy.
Right? Or maybe it starts on the first day, and then it just sort of
then
continues.
You have days and calendrical days.
Correct. Maybe you come up with a hybrid. Sure. But the Gemara suggests, well, why don't we say that when it says 7 days, it means 7 day times. And when it says Bayom Arishon, it means on the first day, as in date. And if that's the case, there is a gap. Right? Remember the problem was, we said, how could there be a gap? Well, now I've created a gap for you. The Chiyuv of Tashbitu is on the 15th, Yom, meaning calendrical day, the date of the 15th. But the prohibition of Bal Yerah is at day time. And therefore, where is the gap at which Bal Yerah does not apply and Tashbitu can be implemented? Not on the 14th, but 15th at night. So the Gemara says, and then you would say, and then the Pasuk is coming to tell you even night. So he says, "Aho lo itzvichalei, the ha'itgish hashpatat zor la'achilat chametz, la'achilat chametz, la'achilat matzah." Said that can't be. Why could that not be? Because remember we said, remember we read the psukim several months ago, and we said throughout the Masechta you must realize that the psukim very much equate three things, and that is achilat matzah, the prohibition on chametz, and then within the prohibition on chametz, all its derivatives. Yes? Remember we saw that in the psukim, that it's very hard to figure out in the psukim where one ends and the other begins? Remember that? This is the Gemara doing that in action. It says it can't be. How could it not be? Because the prohibition to eat chametz must be seven dates. How do I know that it's seven dates? Because the prohibition to eat chametz is compared to the prohibition, the mitzvah to eat matzah. And when is the mitzvah to eat matzah? When does it begin? The 15th at night, which means that the meaning of the word yom when it comes to the prohibition of owning chametz is compared to the prohibition of eating chametz. The prohibition of eating chametz is compared to the positive mitzvah of eating matzah. The mitzvah of eating matzah begins at the 15th at night, and therefore it cannot be that Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh is about day times. It must be about dates. And that's what the Gemara says. Look, just look at the words. Daha itkish hashpatat zor v'achilat chametz. We compare the destruction of chametz to eating chametz. V'achilat chametz le'achilat matzah. And achilat chametz to eating of matzah. Hashpatat zor l'achilat chametz. How do I know that you compare the destruction of zor to the eating of chametz? Tichtiv. Because the Pasuk says, Shivat yamim zor lo yimatzeh bevateichem. Because as we've seen many times, the Pesukim say, 7 days you shall not find leaven. And then, without missing a beat, what does the Pasuk transition into? Kichol ochel machmetzet v'nechreta. Right? So not owning chametz is intrinsically connected to the prohibition to eat chametz. V'achilat matzah, v'achilat chametz, v'achilat matzah. And how do I know that achilat chametz is compared to achilat matzah? Dichtev kol machmetzet lo tochelu b'chol moshoteichem tochlu matzot. That you shall not eat things that have risen, you shall eat matzah. And how do we know, 1 second, how do we know that matzah is at night? Uchtiv bevi matzah, be'erev tochlu matzot. And matzah is at night, and therefore the Gemara's first attempt, it negates.
Right, but you just interpret this as saying that they all happen at the same time? Not that
has to happen
before. Say again? Can this just mean that they have to happen all at the same time? Because you're making a heckish that achilas chametz is chal at the time that you have to eat matzah, and hashpata is at the same time as achilas chametz, and that means that hashpata should be done on the 15th at night. I don't understand the heckish. It's weird.
So
you're using it to say that hashpata has to happen before, but if you take the hekesh literally, it means that...
Correct. So Rashi does not take it literally. And Rashi says, in an unfortunate read of Gemara, says, what does Hashbata here mean? Bal Yeriah. Look at Rashi, top of the page, right? He understands that it can't possibly actually mean Hashbata. It can't. The Pasuk it quotes is Lo Yeriah Lecha. Right?
Which must mean, therefore, that Hashbata has to happen before.
Right, correct. Right, Rashi says, correct. So, but if you look at the top of the Amud, Rashi says, Mishash is here, right? Hashbata Zor Lachil Chameitz, Mishash is here, Shalol Lachal Chameitz. For in the moment when you can't eat Chameitz, Siva Lashbita Sa'or, we're told to destroy Sa'or. Tichtiv, Sor Lematze Vadechem, Ki Ochel, right? So by Hashbata here, he means Lo Yimatze. Good? Okay. We are still at the point now that the Gemara has rejected its attempt to salvage the minimalist read, meaning that the prohibition only takes effect after the 15th starts, and returns to the idea that we have a contradiction between 7 days, the first day, and therefore we resolve it by saying it means the 14th and not the 15th, and therefore the way Rashi reads it, we are still at the point that the 14th, there's an isser to have chametz, but it's not derived from Bal Yeriah, it's derived by Bal Yeriah by implication. It's derived from Teshbitu, right? You can't own chametz because you must destroy it. Yes? Are we there? Were you with me? Yes? I told you read the Gemara carefully. I told you read the Gemara carefully, right? I hope you did. What's the problem? Even if you didn't know the next line of the Gemara, which obviously you do by heart, and you know what the Gemara is about to ask, right, even if you had forgotten the Gemara, what is the problem you must now address?
What time on the 14th?
What time on the 14th? Thank you, Kobe. I'm chalking it up to you actually knowing the Gemara. Or thinking like the Gemara. I don't know which is better or worse.
I know.
Oh, good, you know the Gemara. Okay, good. Right, so the Gemara says, fine, I'm willing to buy it. The prohibition takes place before the 15th, which is also known as the 14th. Very good. Yes, before 15 is 14. These are life skills. Life skills. The number before 15 is 14.
Oh.
Life skills.
The Gemara really makes you wise.
What? Very wise. Very, very wise. Correct, because otherwise how would you know to count backwards? Whoa. Count backwards. The skills. We put this on our brochure. Skills you will learn in Migdal. Counting backwards. Ooh!
Very important for tomorrow.
15, 14. Well, we can write it on the board if you want. Okay.
You can translate it probably.
How about this? I'll write it left to right, you read it right to left, and we'll be good. Yalla. Okay.
You're already assuming a lot.
Yeah.
Look, when you put up your left hand, it makes an L.
No, that's not an L. That's a backward L because it's your left.
Brave of you to assume I know the letters of the alphabet, really.
Look,
I'm not literate.
Look, if you put up your right hand, it's a nun.
My issue is, I'm serious about this one. I've got my left hand.
I'm taking a deep breath.
My natural,
letting the stress
my
just
natural
come out.
Is that the L is pointing this way, so this way is left.
You're hurting me.
That's not okay.
You're all hurting me.
Okay. Rabbi, now that you're disappointed, we can continue.
Good, now we can continue. Right, so now the Gemara asks, as Kobe says, the obvious point is if you're following logically, you should have been able to predict that Gemara said, okay, fine, I managed to get you to the point that I've convinced you that the prohibition must extend into the 14th. Now the question is, well, how much into the 14th? So, if you froze right here, Kobe, what would you say? Well, someone, how about you give me a minimalist view and give me a maximalist view. What would a minimalist view look like at this point in the Gemara?
I know what the Gemara is going to say.
No, what would a minimalist view look like, right? Namely, The Gemara said, listen, the only reason that I know, one second, hold that thought, right? That if, again, let's repeat this. If Mordechai is correct, right, the logic goes like this. I know that Balyara Balyamatze applies for 168 hours. I tried to say maybe it doesn't apply at night by blurring the lines between whether the word yom means day or date, right? Daytime or date. That failed. And therefore, I returned to my conclusion that the days of Pesach mean full dates of Pesach, which therefore means that 7 days is 168 hours. However, I'm stuck in a practical problem, which is that I must destroy the chametz on a day that is described as day one. But if, in fact, I am destroying the chametz on day one, and that day one must mean the 14th and not the 15th in order to ensure that I do not own chametz for the 168 hours that we call Chag HaMatzot, yes? So therefore, I'm stuck, and I must push the prohibition as a derivative of Tashbitu, not of Bal Yerah, backwards into the 14th. Yes? That's where we are? The minimalist view, if that's my evidence, and now I'm going to take it at the minimalist, right? As, right, again, I'm taking the least Chiddush I can. Then, Binyamin, what is the least Mechudash, right, the least demanding extension of this prohibition I could now propose?
Anytime.
Binyamin says that if, in fact, that's all this is it can't be... So take from this. Or do it before. Sure. Thank you. But if, in fact, Binyamin is correct, that right, this is only, look, we're forced into this position. Right?
As soon as close to Pesach as possible.
Correct. That's what Binyamin just said. That the minimalist view would be, who says that? Who takes the minimalist view? Wrong shas. It's not our shas, because remember, how do I know it's not our shas? As if you have forgotten. Because how did the Gemara get into this discussion? The Gemara had said that everyone agrees that the rabbinic view is either the fourth hour or the fifth hour, because everyone agrees that the prohibition is at Chatzot, Hayom, 6 hours, and the Gemara is trying to figure out the source for 6 hours. That means, Bavli taking the minimalist view?
No.
The Bavli, no position that we have seen yet in the Bavli, takes the minimalist view. But that doesn't mean the minimalist view does not exist. The minimalist view does exist. Thank you. That's why I gave you the Yerushalmi. Because if you look at number 4, right, the Yerushalmi is the logical extreme of what you would have understood if you had deleted just the first few lines in the Bavli that told you in advance without proving it that the prohibition in play were 6 hours into the day. Right? But if instead you had started the Gemara a line later, correct? You'd started it with this convoluted analysis that got us to the point that the prohibition was not the 15th by default, it is the 14th, right? Then you could have entertained the possibility that the prohibition, in its most minimalist form, is just right before the 14th, because what you're really saying is, what are you really saying?
This is as close to...
Correct. The prohibition is really the 15th. The only reason that I call the first day not the 15th is because I need there to be no chametz by the 15th, which means I got to get rid of it before the 15th. No, before the 15th. It happens to be that before the 15th, we call the 14th. But there's no halos shame. No, this is important. Meaning a minimalist, if I put it differently, the minimalist view would say, I'm going to explain now, right? The difference between a minimalist view and a maximalist view will be, is the conclusion I derive from the Gemara that I destroy it on the 14th because I need it destroyed by the 15th, and it happens to be that the day before the 15th that will allow me to destroy it in time for the 15th is what we call the 14th, right?
Colloquially,
the 14th, right? Or...
there's some special reason.
Correct. Or is it that no... The reason that we have to do in the 14th, the fact that we call the 14th Yom HaRishon, tells us that it's not just that I'm destroying it on the 14th because the 14th happens to be the day before the 15th, but it's because the 14th itself has a status, right? That's a maximalist view. The Bavli, at some level, clearly is taking a maximalist view. But the drushot, so far, have only led us to the minimalist view, right? Which is that you destroy it on the 14th, so that by the 15th it's done. But the 14th isn't unique. The 14th is only unique insofar as it is the day that comes before the 15th, right? That is where the Yerushalmi comes in. So the Yerushalmi slash Binyamin, okay? So let us look for a moment at the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi...
I don't know if I agree with my opinion.
It's fine. You don't have to. We don't possibly like it as the Yerushalmi, but you're allowed to like it as a theoretical position.
I mean,
position.
I'm going
to
pressure you.
But Lundishly, it was beautiful. Lundishly, it's beautiful, right? So look at the Yerushalmi and Aleph Dalet. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chamesh. Kulei. Rabbi Meir Omer. So remember, in the Bavli, everyone assumes that what? 6 hours and up is? Min HaTorah. And the Gemara is trying to prove it. We haven't proved it yet, but the Gemara thinks it's there, right? The Yerushalmi just says, Nisht. Rabbi Meir Omer. Mishei Sha'ot Ulim Ma'alan. Midiv Rei Hen. 6 hours and up
from the robot
is rabbinic. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishei Sha'ot Ulim Ma'alan Midiv Rei Torah. 6 hours and up is biblical. Now, is this different than the Bavli?
Yes.
100%, because in the Bavli, the Gemara explicitly says, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that 6 hours is biblical, thank you. Right? In the Yerushalmi, this is not the case. So the Gemara says, Ma ta'amo did Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say that the prohibition is only rabbinic? So he makes a crazy claim that doesn't appear in the Bavli. Crazy. You know what his crazy... I need you to strap in for this crazy idea, Avi. How are we going to do this? His crazy idea is Ach Bayom HaRishon, that the first day of Pesach means the first day of Pesach. Crazy! Crazy! I know! Wild! Wild! Because we just spent 40 minutes proving that the first day means the day before the first day. But the Yerushalmi says no. Rabbi Meir has this wild, crazy, unbelievable idea that the words the first day of Chag HaMatzot mean, I know it's crazy, the first day of Chag HaMatzot, not the day before the first day. I know it's hard to believe, Kobe. I know. How could anyone read the pasuk so weirdly? It's crazy. It's unbelievable, right? Where is it? So Rabbi Meir says, Ach b'yom harishon, ze chamisha asar. The first day of Pesach is the first day of Pesach, meaning the 15th. Gival, oive, yocho misha techshach. You might think that, therefore, the whole prohibition only starts when it gets dark. Talmud Lomar, ach. It says, but. However. However. However, that means the 15th. But, you know, a little bit, whatever. Therefore what? Haketzad. How do you say, however the 15th? What is a chalos shame, however the 15th? Tein lo lefnei shiyeh chamashah achad. He said, I don't know.
An hour
before Shkia. I don't know.
Which is not the 15th.
Correct. But what's his point? It's a minimalist view. It's saying the 15th is the 15th. What does ach mean?
Do it before.
Make sure. It's like, but on the 15th, which means?
But there is a difference.
Now, how much is shah achad? Now, what does shah? We should be careful. What does shah mean in Chazal in general? Right. It doesn't necessarily mean an hour. It could mean a moment. Right? It means a period of time. Which means, Rameir is saying, look, what is the minimalist view? That really the prohibitions about Chametz, when do they apply?
On Pesach.
On Pesach. Elamai, we have a word, ach, which tells us, however. You know, however the 15th. That means like, you know, really, really the 15th. But like, make sure that by the time you get to the 15th, it's gone. So when do you have to get rid of it? I don't know.
Before.
When before? I don't know. Right before. Like, an hour. And now you're going to start darshaning. Obviously, the Achron will be like, an hour. That shows you it's a chalois shame of an hour. Probably not. Right? Sha'achat normally means.
So maybe there's already.
How many people in Asher Yatzar have the girsa of Afilu Sha'achat? Right? So does it mean an hour? If God would shut down our breathing for even an hour, and now you can start asking kashas, oh, you mean you can go 59 minutes without breathing? Is it shod zmaniot? No, sha'a means a moment.
It's also weird if you say it means a moment, because you probably wouldn't die if Hashem shut down your body for a moment.
Sha'a means a period of time. That's what it means. Right?
How long is a moment, Kobe? Kobe, tell me how long a moment is.
If all my orifices were covered for exactly one moment, I think I would still
live. Exactly one moment. What is an exact moment?
You think. Except the Gemara has definitions of moments, remember. Yes, okay. Anyways.
This is not really related to anything, but if I was to say, like Rebbe.
What?
Instead of saying Rebbe, it's like Rebbe.
Yes.
So why don't we just say it?
Tim, I mean, pronounce it that way. I also spoke another.
What?
They say Rebbe instead of Rebbe.
Kind of sounds more fun.
Okay, you want to call people Rebbe? Go ahead.
They have a thing before Shabbos where they everyone recites Bala Mazi together and they always say Rebbe.
Okay, anyways, good, right? But that is the minimalist read. However, who rejects the minimalist read? Rabbi Yehuda in the Yerushalmi and every named position in the Bavli. Very good, right? The minimalist position, as attractive as it might be, is rejected by Rabbi Yehuda and Yerushalmi, and every single position in Shas Bavli.
They bring up Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning. So in the Bavli, they have the maximalist position.
According to everybody, correct.
But in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Meir has the minimalist.
Correct. It's a machloket. How to understand Rabbi Meir? Yes, as someone said before. Wait, it's the same Rabbi Meir. Yes, same Rabbi Meir. And the Yerushalmi thinks he holds X, and the Bavli holds Y. That's right. Now you're having a crisis of faith. Okay.
What does it even mean to be not clear?
Just correct, but okay, good. So now the Gemara continues because the Bavli doesn't buy this, nor does the Yerushalmi, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
What would be like the actual time that he'll write this to it, if not for the, like, the
Bavliers.
Like, right as the 14th is leaving when the 15th starts?
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to do that?
Sha'alafnei. That's what he says.
Well, that's the Darabanan.
No, that's the Daraita friend. From the word Ach.
Oh, the
correct. Correct. Biblically, you must make sure that the job is done by the time you go to the 15th. That's what the word Ach teaches you, according to Rabbi Meir. Very good. Now, by the way, I do need to point out that we still remember, as much as we've now spent almost 45 minutes on this, we only have Rashi's understanding of the sugya, right? Unfortunately, I will at some point have to, you know, shake you out of this and remind you that the Rambam reads the entire sugya beginning to end differently. Fun times, right? But we're not there yet. So the Gemara says, fine. But the Bavli taking him a maximalist position, not thinking that it's just, you know, practical, that you must end before the 14th, but actually thinking that what? That the psukim drive us to believe that the 14th actually has an independent isser, right? Right. It's not just pragmatic that the isser must extend to the 14th to make sure that by the time you get to the 15th you don't have chametz, but that the 14th itself actually somehow has an isser, right? Yes. So the Gemara says, well, how do we get that? Once we say that, ve'ema l'rabot le'el yodalad le'bi'ur. Once you say that. By Yom HaRishon doesn't mean the 15th, it means the 14th. Then, what is the most logical time of the day in order to, that we should kick in the prohibitions, whatever prohibitions we're talking about. Correct! As soon as it starts being the 14th, which is also known as? No, nighttime. 14th at night. That's what Gemara says. Ve'ema l'rabot le'el yadal le'bior. So the Gemara says, can't be. Bayom, k'tiv. It says, bayom. Bayom, here we're understanding to mean not the date, but the daytime. So the Gemara says, fine. Fine. Let's say I buy the notion that the word yom in this particular usage means daytime and not date. But you've confused me. But fine, I buy it. What time should the prohibitions relevant to the Gemara kick in? Ve'ema mitzafra. So then that's what we call morning. As soon as the morning begins, the prohibition should kick in. And the Gemara says, nope. Ach. The pasuk says, ach. Ach. Ach chalek. From the word ach, we learn that, yes, the prohibitions take place on the 14th. But when on the 14th? Divide it. Oh, God forbid. Rashi is going to clarify. Rashi says, oh, achalek, this is easy. Possibility one, ach and verak and miutin. Possibility one is ach, whenever you see the word ach and rak, however or but or whatever, or only, that is what's a miut. It minimizes, and therefore, you thought it was the whole 14th? It is not. It is less than the whole 14th. So some of it is permitted and some is not. And once we say some and some, where do we like, if we have no other evidence, where is, how much is some? Half. Very good. Possibility one in Rashi is really the drasha is some. Problem is some is vague. So the least vague interpretation of some that we can come up with is half. Right? Possibility one. Possibility two. No. The ikadamar ach hu chetz bigamatria dachas bata gif dekatz. He said, or you can use among the most confusing gematrias that we have. Because there is a gematria known as atbash. What is atbash? Very good. This is not atbash, because atbash is easy, right? This is achazbata. What is achazbata? What is achazbata giftikatz? What? Nope, it's where you divide the alphabet into thirds. And aleph means chet or samach. And bet. Yeah, that's a technical problem here. It means that we divide 22 letters into thirds, and aleph equals chet or samach, and bet equals tet or ayin.
Why don't we just do advance by, I guess, you advance by seven?
Nope. Nope. It's not seven. It's that we divide the alphabet into thirds, and that each letter has two other letters it's equivalent to, and therefore, ach, aleph becomes chet, and chaf becomes tzadi. I have no clue. But, therefore, ach in gematria is chetz, and chetz means half.
Stop, please. Please, I'm begging you, Ralph. Stop. You're hurting me. This hurts.
I pray to God, I assume, that in Ezra's father's book, there is a chapter on this particular atrocity of except it's not, because each letter, except for tough, correlates with two other letters, and tough has no parallel.
It's like that photo of Dobby trying to set up the roots.
So. Exactly. I'm fully on board with understanding this gematria. So Rashi says, what is the problem? Ach in achas betagif didikatz is half. It's chetz. What? What's the problem? What is the problem, Mordecai? I don't understand. You say this as if this wasn't the obvious path forward.
Not only does each letter correspond to two other letters, it's for two-letter word.
Correct. Therefore, the two-letter word of ah is chet.
And chet means arrow and arrow divine.
Now, to be fair, it is also equivalent to sod. But I don't know what that means. But it is also numerically equivalent to sod. I'm just saying.
It's so.
Sure.
It so.
Because aleph can either be... Or it's seed. Also equivalent to chad, which means sharp. I don't know what that tells me either.
And seed means mortar.
Sure. I don't know what any of this means, but yes. So Rashi, that is Rashi's drasha. Thank you. Now all is clear. I hope all is clear to you, because it is obviously clear to me. What? Well, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so fine. He says... Now, as weird as that is, the point is that there is a chalos to chatzot. Dire, right? Yes?
Yes.
Dibe Rabbi Yishmael Tana. Rabbi Yishmael teaches differently. Matzinu Yodalish Nikra Rishon. Shneemar Barishon Barbasar Yom Lechodesh. No. The 14th is elsewhere explicitly referred to as the first day. Barishon Barbasar. What's the problem? What's the difference between the drasha we just read and this drasha of Rabbi Yishmael? It doesn't answer the question. Remember, what was the question? Okay, fine. The 14th has a chalos. How do I know that it only kicks in at chatzot and not at the morning or at night? So the Gemara comes up with a weird drasha of Ach. Rabbi Yishmael says, the 14th is special, because the 14th is also day one.
I didn't read these as connected. I read this as just...
Good. Does he answer the question? No, I don't understand, right? However, what is very explicit in Rabbi Yishmael? Very good. Right? It's very clear, right? It was pretty clear in the previous drasha, against Rabbi Meir in the Yerushalmi, but it's 100% clear in Rabbi Yishmael that what drives him to believe that there is a significant prohibition to chametz on Erev Pesach is the belief that the Erev Pesach is also the first, right? That there's a chalos shem the 14th, right? That is clear, right? That there is a status to the 14th. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Rishon Dimeikara Mashma. Rav Nachman, however, differs, and he says, "No. What does Rishon mean? What does it mean? Before, correct? Damar Kra Harishon Adam Tivole. Because the pasuk says, right? Harishon Adam Tivole. But Rashi says means Hakodim La Adam Rishon." No leder, right? It's a pasuk in Eov. That means before Adam was created. Now, what does that mean? What do you seem to have a machloket about in the Gemara itself in the drasho? But think about what we said in the Yerushalmi. The Rav Nachman's drasha is the 14th special? No, it's before the 15th, correct? Which is how we understood Rabbi Meir in the Yerushalmi. So the question of whether the 14th is merely the day before the 15th or is a status of the 14th, what? Seems to be the machloket in the Gemara, whether what drives the drasha. Is it that Bayom HaRishon means the 14th and the 14th is the status and the prohibitions on the 14th take effect on the 14th because it's a special day? Or does Bayom HaRishon mean before the first day. In which case, the 14th is only special because it's before the 15th. And if that's the case, then you could argue that even though only in the Yerushalmi do you have a position that claims that the prohibition takes effect a moment before the 15th, so maybe on a technical level, the Bavli disagrees and says that once the prohibition is pushed back, it's pushed back to the 14th at Chatzot. Conceptually, what might it agree with in the Yerushalmi? Right, what might Rav Nachman agree with in the Yerushalmi? That the prohibition is really by the 15th. The 14th is conceptualized merely as the day that leads into the 15th. Right, the drasha of Rav Nachman, even without the minimalist application of Rav Meir, conceptually sounds a lot more like the drasha of Rav Meir in the Yerushalmi. You see that? Right, do you see the difference between saying that Bayom HaRishon means the 14th and Bayom HaRishon means before the 15th? Right, that's a very big difference conceptually.
It still doesn't make sense to read the Bayom HaRishon.
You don't have to agree with it. I'm asking you whether that is the upshot of the drasha. Right? I told you. What I wanted you to do today was read the Gemara very carefully because I want you to see how the Gemara seems not just to be not just to be arguing about what? Technicalities. What time, what pasuk we derive it from. Right? It's not just two or three or four or five different psukim from which we can derive the same rule. How you formulate the rule seems to shed completely different light on the nature of the prohibitions in question. Do you view them as intrinsically being dinim in the 14th of Nisan, or are they dinim that need to be accomplished by the 15th, and the 14th happens to be Erev 15? Right? Those are very, very different. And again, this is important. Why is it important? Because it might determine times, and it also determine what prohibition. Right? By the end of the day, we got to figure out, okay, so far we've assumed, like Rashi, that what is the prohibition in play on, in this Gemara? A derivative from Tashbitu. Right? A derivative from Tashbitu. Why would you, what would drive you to say that?
If the
14 has a chalot shein, and it is distinct from the 15, then you need to find a mitzvah from which you can derive a set of rules that is not the prohibitions that apply on the 15th, which is Bal Yirah Bal Yematzeh, right? But what if you end up saying that even though, yes, our Gemara thinks it's 6 hours and not a moment, but it's a derivative, so then, what prohibition might you be looking for? Bal Yirah Bal Yematzeh, or the prohibition to eat chametz, or any prohibition which has to do with Pesach itself, right?
What time on the 14th then
would only be? Oh, we'll have to get back to time, but I want you to understand why this is important, because Rashi, in the end of the day, is probably going to hold that the issue at hand is that the 14th has unique status. And therefore, he thinks that whatever prohibitions we have here are derivatives of Tashbitu. They're not Bal Yirah Bal Yematzeh. It's not the Yisur of eating chametz. Whatever Yisurim look like Bal Yirah Bal Yematzeh on the 14th are really derivatives of Tashbitu. Right? Right? You understand why Rashi is going to do that. Because the thrust of the Gemara is that the 14th actually has a status, even though there are outliers in the drasha. However, we're going to see that there's at least one Rishon that does not seem to believe this, and that Rishon is the Rambam. The Rambam does not seem to read the Gemara this way. Okay, but we don't have time for that because tomorrow, guys, continue to break your teeth over these drasha, because these drasha are super important. Along the way, make sure to see the Gemara on Chav Chet. Right? Make sure to see the Gemara on Chav Chet. Make sure to see Rashi and Tosfot. Make sure to see the Rambam in 3. Right? Once you finish all of that, then we can see a few Nafkaminas that express themselves in the Balamor, the Machloket Rambam, the Machloket about whether there's Isra Hana'a from Chametz and Erev Pesach, whether you violate Bal Yira'eh on Erev Pesach, which is a machloket Rambam Ravid. And you'll see how this plays out into the position of Ben Betera later on in the Gemara, okay?